From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. President Obama lauds Africa's progress but cautions it rests on a fragile foundation. President Obama ended his two-nation Africa trip with an unprecedented speech Tuesday to the 54-nation African Union in Ethiopia, hailing the continent's progress.
The world must recognize Africa's extraordinary progress. Today, Africa is one of the fastest-growing regions in the world. Africa's middle class is projected to grow to more than 1 billion consumers, hundreds of millions of mobile phones, surging access to the Internet. Africans are beginning to leapfrog old technologies into new prosperity.
But he warned such progress can be sustained only through continued development, rights protection, democracy, and good governance.
Nothing will unlock Africa's economic potential more than ending the cancer of corruption. And you are right that it is not just a problem of Africa, it is a problem of those who do business with Africa. It is not unique to Africa. Corruption exists all over the world, including in the United States. But here in Africa, corruption drains billions of dollars from economies that can't afford to lose billions of dollars.
Mr. Obama cautioned Africa's progress rests on a fragile foundation and criticized leaders who refuse to step aside when their terms end. Media reports say at least 25 people were killed after suspected Boko Haram fighters attacked the northeast Nigerian village of Dil in Borno State. Witnesses say the attack occurred Monday afternoon when fighters entered the village about 250 kilometers south of the state capital, Maiduguri. Local vigilantes and security forces resisted the attack. Meanwhile, Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari is visiting his Cameroonian counterpart today, Paul Biya, in Yaounde. This is VOA News. Turkey, with fresh NATO support for its cross-border airstrikes against Islamic State fighters, targeted suspected positions of the rebel Kurdistan Workers' Party, or PKK, inside Turkey Tuesday. NATO backing followed an emergency meeting in Brussels. Amanda Paul with the European Policy Center said Turkey requested that meeting.
I think the main purpose is to give them some reassurance in terms of their bombing campaign in Syria and northern Iraq, that they won't be accused of violating international law in the after event. So they wanted to cover their backs, basically, by having NATO say, OK, it's fine, we agree, we understand your security situation and the concerns you have for territorial integrity. So go ahead, it's okay.
Meanwhile, the United States says it's working with Turkey on an attack plan to clear IS insurgents from northern Syria. Lawyers for convicted Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard said Tuesday U.S. officials have decided to free him in November after 30 years in federal prison. Pollard was sentenced to life in 1987 for turning over suitcases of military secrets to Israel, including details on U.S. intelligence, weapons, and radar jamming equipment. Michael Fishback, regional analyst with Virginia's Randolph-Macon College, calls the decision a milestone in U.S.-Israeli relations.
The Pollard issue has been a thorn in the side for both parties for three decades. And the fact that Pollard is going to be released at all, let alone at this time, is simply a breathtaking announcement.
While Secretary of State John Kerry denies the pending release was intended to placate Israel over its objections to the Iran nuclear deal, Fishback says the timing, coupled with continued strong opposition to the release, makes the denial untenable. U.S. prosecutors have charged an admirer of Islamic State with plotting to bury a bomb at a Florida beach and remotely blow it up. The Justice Department says Harlem Suarez was charged Tuesday with attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction. Pakistani authorities say police killed the leader of a militant group accused of killing hundreds of Shia. Officers were transporting Malik Ishaq early Wednesday when the convoy came under attack. Ishaq, his two sons, and 11 others died during a shootout with police. A Libyan court issued a death sentence Tuesday to Saif al-Islam, son of Muammar Gaddafi, in connection with the deadly response to the 2011 uprising that pushed him from power. The Tripoli court also sentenced eight others to death, including former spy chief Abdullah al-Sanusi and former Prime Minister Baghdadi al-Mahmoudi. The United States Tuesday welcomed the decision by the Gambian government to release several relatives of the December 30, 2014 failed coup plot. U.S. spokesman John Kirby said the family members had been held without charge. But he also called for the release of radio journalist Alagi Abdulli Cisse, who disappeared July 17. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.